This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 98, Three Reasons Why Cropping is Okay. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 98th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about three reasons why cropping is not blasphemy. A lot of people seem to think it is, and I wanted to talk about that today. But before we get into it, I would like to thank Jimmy and Scorpio E for their comments on our last podcast, number 97, where we talked about using hard light. Actually got quite a few tweets and retweets about it, so thank you very much. And all comments are appreciated, and they're super appreciated when they're made directly in the blog, and that's photography.ca. /blog. All right then, so let's just get right into today's podcast. There seems to be a new wave of photographers on the web that seem to be against cropping their images. They basically say, just take the time to frame your image properly and then you won't need to crop it. When you enlarge a cropped image, they say, it changes the crispness of the image and, they just say, just frame it properly. And although I respect that point of view, today's podcast is basically about why I feel that that point of view is very, very weak, why I feel cropping is perfectly legitimate and fine, and it's often necessary. Why is it necessary? Well, first off, let's go back about 15 years or so before digital was everywhere. In those days, and decades before that, many photographers shot a 35mm film, and from that 35mm film, they made 8x10 enlargements, because that was the standard paper size for enlargements for many, many, many years. The problem is that 35mm film never fit the 8x10 paper perfectly. It fits 8x12 inches perfectly, but 8x12 is a much rarer paper and a much weirder looking print, actually. So in order to print on this 8x10 using the entire paper, 2 inches had to be cropped on every single image. And there are millions and millions and millions of cropped images just like this. And still to this day, some paper size versus modern sensor sizes across different formats, they require you to crop if you want to use the whole sheet of paper. So again, in this case, if you want to use the full sheet of paper, cropping is actually essential. Second, and more importantly, cropping after the fact, for me, it's like editing a story. You know, the first draft of a story or a screenplay or the first draft of anything is not always the best. And sometimes we need to edit words out of a story to make the story much stronger. And the exact same thing happens with photographs. Less is often more, and many great, great iconic photographs have been cropped. Even masters that were against cropping, like Cartier-Bresson, he was really actually against cropping. But a few of his most famous photographs are cropped. That famous shot of his of a man jumping a puddle called Behind the Gare Saint-Lazare, that's a cropped image. There was crap on the left, and it didn't suit the image, and he needed to get rid of it, so he cropped it. It's an iconic image, and it would not be this iconic had he left it full frame. Many, many, many other iconic images have also been cropped. Why? Because cropping, again, it's like editing. Zeroing in or eliminating elements often makes the remaining elements much stronger. And I just like to talk about a few of those iconic images for a few minutes. And of course, please check the show notes. Those images will be in the show notes. Cuban photographer Alberto Corda, he created possibly one of the world's, if not the world's, most memorable image. And that's an image of revolutionary Che Guevara. We've all seen it. We've seen it on t-shirts. We've seen it everywhere. And it's a fabulously strong portrait. And it's cropped. And you could check the show notes for the uncropped version. There's basically a palm tree on the right and a man on the left. And that's in the full frame image. And he basically created a head and shoulders portrait of Che. And holy moly, very, very, very powerful image. I doubt the image would be this iconic if it had been widely published in its original form. And there's so many other great images and great photographers that have cropped images. It almost seems preposterous to focus only on two, but that's what I'm going to do. So Arnold Newman, a fantastic American photographer, just fantastic, seriously known for environmental portraiture. He just died a couple of years ago, but he also created one of, again, a just incredibly famous image. And this is an image of Picasso. It's sort of like a head and shoulders portrait, except Picasso's hand is touching his face. And it's totally a cropped image. When you look at the full frame, which will be in the show notes, you'll see there's quite a lot of empty environment in the background. I guess he was trying to photograph Picasso in his studio or what have you. But once he looked at the image, he looked at the expression on Picasso's face. That tiny portion of the image, which is probably maybe one-fifth or one-sixth of the image only is his face. He cropped out everything else and just left the face. And if you've ever seen a portrait of Pablo Picasso, it may well have been taken by Arnold Newman because it's just that famous. And then another one of his really famous photographs is a photograph of composer Igor Stravinsky in front of his piano. And again, Arnold Newman really loved to take environmental portraits, and he leaves a fair amount of the environment in the original crop. But when it comes to the crop that everyone knows, he basically almost cropped Stravinsky's body out of the entire image. And he just left Stravinsky on the lower left, and he left the top of his grand piano on the right. It's a really fab photograph because part of the piano that he left actually looks like a note. And there's that bar that holds part of the piano open. Anyway, just check out the photograph. It's a fabulous photograph, and it's far stronger than the original, in my opinion. And even though he was well known for being an environmental portraitist, he was also very strong about do what works. And he used a very unusual crop here, and it totally, totally works. And finally, you know, cropping just allows you to express yourself artistically. From panoramas to totally off-the-wall crops, it's your image. Crop it, print it the way you want if you think it suits the image. If you think the crux of the image is going to be stronger by removing parts of it, remove parts of it. You are the master of the image. You have the power to make the end result as strong as possible. I'm just going to talk about one of my images that I took a few years ago. I'm going to try and hunt it down. One that always sticks in my head is one that I took of this woman looking through a door, and I wanted a creepy shot. So I had her just looking through the door. So it's basically a shot of just a little bit of face and an eye peering through the crack of a door. Now, had I printed it full frame, it would have taken up the whole paper, but I decided to try a weird crop, and I hope I can find the image. I'll put it in the show notes. But basically, I cropped out the majority of the door and the majority of the scene and left just a smaller portion, but it works. For me, it adds tension. So, you know, I play as much as anyone else, and I encourage people to play often. So, you know, I do encourage you to just try different cropping tools in order to help you. You know, a lot of people were shooting, maybe still film. Maybe some people are still shooting film. I know a lot of people actually still shoot film, but they may process the image on their computer. So when you see the image on your computer, what I often do to get rid of extraneous parts of the image is I just take a white piece of paper, you know, and just move it in along the side of the image that needs cropping. And very quickly, you can get an idea of how well cropping will suit that image. Of course, there are also actual cropping tools that we film photographers used to use. And you know, they basically just consist of two L-shaped pieces of cardboard. And you just basically slide them into your image and out of your image. And just basically see what works best for your image. I'm going to try and find a link to cropping tools in the show notes as well. And I think that's all I got to say about that. So three reasons to crop again. Sometimes it's just essential based on the paper size versus film or sensor size. Two, cropping is like editing, and sometimes your final edit will be better than your first shot. And three, you know, cropping just allows you to be creative and search your artistic vision. So that's going to do it for cropping for me today. It is actually July 1 today. Happy Canada Day to all our Canadian friends. And in a few days, it'll be Independence Day in the USA. So happy Independence Day to our American friends. And we're going to choose the actual topic in the next 24 hours. So do check the show notes, because by the time this podcast is published, the assignment will be chosen. Thanks so much, as always, for listening, everyone. It's really, really appreciated. If you want to subscribe, we always recommend iTunes or Google Reader. If you ever have problems with anything at all, please just like send an email, photography.ca@gmail.com, and it'll be more than my pleasure to help you out. Thanks again for listening, everyone. And as always, just keep on shooting. Bye for now.